Okay. Good evening, everyone. We're holding the final night. Tomorrow night at this time, we're going to be at Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. From now, we should be careful to eat and drink and prepare ourselves tomorrow as well. We have a mitzvah that as we eat and drink, we're doing a mitzvah tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Ashkenazim do a short slichot. And then we have regular Friday morning prayer. We're still saying Avinu Malkeinu. We still have all the additions of the 10 days of repentance until the end of Yom Kippur, until Arvit at the night after Yom Kippur. Tomorrow's Friday. So Yom Kippur this year falls out on Shabbat and it overrides Shabbat. Our schedule tomorrow is we get up, we say Slichot, we daven Shachrit. And then we have a few hours until we have the meal, Suda Mafseket, during that time. So Ashkenazim have already done Hatarat Nedarim. Sfardim, some do Hatarat Nedarim again tomorrow, the annulling of vows. Some Sfardim do that tomorrow as well. If you didn't do it before Rosh Hashanah, do it tomorrow. We have a custom that we ask one another for forgiveness. If you know you did something wrong to someone, you ask them for mechila, you ask them to forgive you for what you've wronged them. We have a custom of kaparot, where we take either, Ashkenazim have this custom, even though the Shulchan Aruch didn't like this custom, Sfardim do this custom as well, as far as I know. We take either a chicken, or a fish, or money, depending on your custom. We say a chapter of Psalms, Bnei Adam Yoshvei Choshech, Asirei Oni Uvarzel. It's printed in the Machzor, and that chapter describes how people will sometimes be in bondage, people will sometimes be in darkness, they reach the point where they think they're about to die, and then an angel, it's enough that one out of 1,000 angels come out and says, I found something good to say about the man, redeem him from death, I've found his redemption. That's the conclusion of the chapter, and then he gets life. So those words, Matzati Kofer, I found his redemption, also reflect our custom of taking money or chicken or whatever. We then wave it around their head, and after we wave it once, we say, Se Chalifati Ze Temurati Ze Kaparati. This should be in exchange for me. This should be instead of me. This should be my atonement. Those letters, Chalifati, Temurati, Kaparati, they form Chet, Taf, Chaf, which we have a tradition, represents an angel that's responsible for extending one's life, so to speak. So we purposely say it that way. Ze, if you're holding a chicken, you say Ze Tarnegol or Tarnegolet. If you're holding money, you say Ze Kesef, Yelech Litzdaka. This money will go to charity. Vani, and I, in exchange, Ikanes Velech, I will go in Chaim Tovim Varukim Veshalom. I will go and have longevity. I will have a good life and peace. Then you wave it around your head a second time, and you say the same thing, and then a third time. Then you take that money, and you bring it either to an organization, or a rabbi, or someone you trust who will give it to the poor, or you give it to the poor. That's fine also. How much should you do? That depends. Am I getting your donation? No. How much it should be, an amount that you think is serious, whether that's 5 shekel, 10 shekel, 20 shekel. Depends a little bit on your financial state. If you go twice a week to buy yourself a falafel, that means 20 shekel isn't a big deal in your finances. So then 20 shekel is a nice price. It's a good idea to give it tomorrow. It's a good idea to give charity in general tomorrow. We're going to say on Yom Kippur, Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Mavirin Etra, Gezerah. Those three are what annul the evil or the bad that might happen at a decree. It's a good idea to prepare the prayer tomorrow, to sit down with a machzor, Hebrew English, and start understanding what you're going to say. You're going to spend the whole day Yom Kippur in shul. So you want to understand what you're doing. If you don't yet own a machzor that has the prayer in Hebrew and the language you understand, which I assume is English, then get one. You should own one. You should review and study and pay attention to what you're doing there. It's a good idea to make sure you have a good meal for breakfast, and then a good meal for brunch, and then a really good meal in the afternoon, what we call the Suda Mafseket, the meal that separates us from eating to the fasting. And in a minute we'll continue, but there's a question or a comment. Yes?
Today is important quote. So I gave money today to the Makon.
Okay.
So tomorrow?
Take other money. Take 20 shekel, whatever, you didn't do kaparot. Sorry, you gave tzedakah, it's a good thing. But that's not kaparot. You could give that to the Mahon too. But it's not kaparot. Kaparot is when you do the process. It's not just giving the donation. The donation is tzedakah. It's a good thing.
It's kaparot.
That's very nice of them. Kaparot is you do the process. Take money and do it. Now, yes.
Do the kaparot, then after you do the money.
That's fine, yes. Yes. But after you do it. Yes. There is a minhag to go to the mikveh tomorrow, correct. Yes. Fine, you can take a shower. It's preferable not to do it in the mikveh place itself, and even that there's room to be lenient. Those who are uncomfortable going to a mikveh should stand in the shower for long enough that 9 kav, let's see, a kav is 24 eggs. 24 eggs is about 1.5 liters. So that means you should have about 13 liters come down on you from your head down. If you're not comfortable going to a mikveh, so that for men, for the purity of Yom Kippur, that's also a good thing. That's almost as good as going to a mikveh. It's a unique thing because we're really only going for a specific thing before Yom Kippur. Some go down once, and that's what's written in Shulchan Aruch. Others go down 3 times, that's also okay. Some go down 5. If you're going to do more than that, find a time that you're not annoying everyone, because it's not fair to hog up the mikveh. Everyone's coming on Erev Yom Kippur. There is a custom to go. The Kabbalists say it's good to go in the afternoon. I'm not a Kabbalist. I always went in the morning. That way I had the mikveh to myself. But again, you don't have to. It's not obligatory to go to a mikveh. It took me years to be comfortable enough to go to a mikveh. There were many years I was uncomfortable because people are walking around without their clothing in the mikveh. I didn't grow up with it. To me, it was uncomfortable. Okay. In the late afternoon, we... Men don't make a bracha on mikveh. Not today. When we'll have a temple again.
No, I mean when you're in the shower.
You can't make a blessing in a shower. No. If you want to make a blessing before you go in, make a shahakol. Let's say if you plan on drinking the shower water, so you make a shahakol before you go in. No, Talmud says it's a healthy thing. Talmud says a person who wants to be healthy should drink the hot water. Our showers are clean. The question is what they did. But the Talmud says it's healthy for a person when they have hot water going outside them to also have hot water going into them, the Talmud says. So if you're in a shower where the water is clean, but you have to make the blessing before you go in, when your private parts are still covered and you're not in the shower room. Okay, we come back to the eve of Yom Kippur. It's a good idea to nap. You want to come in well rested. There is a special blessing that we give our children. It's printed in the Machzorim. It's one of the nicest blessings you'll ever see that parents give their children on the eve of Yom Kippur. Do it early enough that you have time. It's a good idea to sit down for the meal early enough that you can end the meal and brush your teeth if you'll feel more comfortable that way, and clear off from the table without rushing out. There's a custom to light a Ner Zikaron. We light a candle for relatives that passed from the world, usually specifically for parents, also for grandparents. If God forbid a person lost a child or a very good friend, it is customary to light Ner Neshama over Yom Kippur for that person. On Motzei Yom Kippur, including this year that it's Motzei Shabbat, we do have Havdalah on a candle that's called Ner Sheshavat, a candle that was not in use all of Yom Kippur. Being that Yom Kippur is different than Yom Tov, Yom Kippur we don't transfer fires, so we have a very unique Havdalah Motzei Yom Kippur. We say we are going to show that now we can again use fire. All of Yom Kippur we could not use fire. It's different than every other Yom Tov. So we have a special Havdalah Motzei Yom Kippur where we specifically take a flame that was lit all of Yom Kippur and I didn't touch it all of Yom Kippur. And now Motzei Yom Kippur, I'm going to make Havdalah on that flame. If you don't have one, or if you're like us, that you have one but the kids put it out, right? So then you go to the neighbor and you use theirs. But you make Havdalah over a flame that was at rest all of Yom Kippur. Not a new flame. On Motzei Shabbos, you strike a match, you light a flame, you make Havdalah. Motzei Yom Kippur, you make Havdalah on a flame that was prepared before Yom Kippur. You guys probably don't have to worry about it. The Machon does it for you. But I'm just prepping us for, you're going to run homes. You have to know what you do at home. Okay. Married people wear a kittel, Ashkenazim. We wear a white robe that we will be buried in. It's part of reminding ourselves that one day we're going to die. And we end the meal early. We don't run the meal till sunset. We come to shul early. We conclude the meal early enough that we can clear off the table. We bench. We wish everyone a good year. Married people are not allowed to touch their wives all of Yom Kippur. We treat it like the couple are in a prohibited state. They sleep in separate beds. We leave a light on. We have lights on in the house. We should leave a light on in the bedroom because couples that are married know that they cannot be intimate when there's a light on in the room. So if they leave a light on in the room, that'll be a good reminder that they're not allowed to be intimate on the night of Yom Kippur. Some have the custom, many have the custom that by day they're allowed to touch one another. They just don't, obviously intimacy is one of the things that are prohibited on Yom Kippur, but as far as touch, so many say you shouldn't do it by day either, but there are those who are lenient, and many go with the more lenient opinion that by daytime we're not worried anything's going to happen. We don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur, so we don't wear leather shoes. If you have Crocs or something else that's very comfortable, no, that's okay, that's kosher, it's not leather. But if you have slippers or something that's not like so comfortable, then that's a better idea. I wear my Crocs to shul. When I get to shul, I take them off. I stand in my socks. It's one of the things that Torah wanted us to do. Now, it's perfectly fine to take those pills, kalei tzom, tzom kal. There are all kinds of pills, nutritional supplements that help you go through the fast without feeling it. That's fine. Just like you could eat a full meal. Shulchan Aruch says he assumes everyone's stuffed when they walk into Yom Kippur. Wait a second, if you're supposed to suffer, then why do you eat so much? The answer is, it's okay. You're supposed to prepare, so it's also okay to take one of these pills before Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to eat anything. We're not allowed to drink anything. Even if a person says, I want to just take a pill for antacid, I'm just going to pop it with a little bit of water. No, you're not allowed to take a little bit of water. I'm sorry. You'll deal with your reflux today. You don't need to take that pill. Nothing too dangerous. You'll manage. We don't eat or drink anything on Yom Kippur. Just the breath freshener, no? I just want to brush my teeth with toothpaste and wash out my mouth. Not on Yom Kippur. What you can do is have a dry toothbrush, which has no liquid and no flavor in it, and clean out your mouth. You can clean out your mouth. There's no prohibition on cleaning out your mouth. But with water, no. Not on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, again, you want to clean it out without water. And if you do it with a dry tissue or something, it'll be terrible all of Yom Kippur. But if you do it with a dry toothbrush, and that's really clean and dry, so then you could really clean out your mouth, and you didn't wet your mouth on Yom Kippur. We don't take a shower on Yom Kippur. When we wash our hands, we wash till the knuckle. So the way we do it is we pour the water and then stick our fingers in up to the knuckle. If you got your hands dirty, you fed your kids a sandwich, you got peanut butter all over your hands, or you got your hands dirty a different way, you're allowed to wash them off however you need to in order to get them clean. But other than that, we don't wash ourselves, we don't take a fresh wipe and wipe ourselves, we don't get ourselves wet, we don't. On Yom Kippur, we are focused on being united, we are focused on what's really important to us in life, and we're ignoring all the other things that distract us on a day-to-day basis. On a day-to-day basis, we're worried about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to shower, what deodorant we put on, what cologne we put on. Not on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we're focused on something much higher than that. Suddenly we're saying, oh, that's not important. So we said we ask people forgiveness. It's a good idea to ask your parents for forgiveness. I'm sure you're all wonderful people, and I'm sure you might have said something that was not so respectful. So it's a good idea to tell them, look, I'm sure there were times that the way we spoke to one another, I should have been more respectful, or I should have been more considerate. I want to apologize now. It's a good idea. I ask my in-laws for forgiveness. A person should ask their wife for forgiveness. And if you know other people who you hurt their feelings, or there is a good chance you hurt their feelings, it's a good idea to ask them forgiveness. You know you owe someone money. Talk to them. I have a friend, we agreed, we had a mutual friend. Three of us have a mutual friend who came back from Chutz Lartz. When he came back from Chutz Lartz, we said, we'll all chip in and buy him pizza. They're landing, they're coming back with all the kids, they have nothing to eat. We didn't have time to prepare anything, so he said, okay, we'll all chip in. So one guy went and bought it, and the rest of us were supposed to pay him back. Suddenly dawned on me yesterday that every time I came to pay him back, he didn't have change and I didn't have change, so I haven't paid him back yet. So I sent him a message. I said, you know, I still owe you 31 shekel. Okay, you got to pay them up. You want to close your open accounts before Yom Kippur. So we try to walk into Yom Kippur as clean as we can, which also means we forgive other people. The Medrash says when Yom Kippur comes, Hashem asks the angels, did you see my people, humanity? And they say, yeah, there's one among them who's like no one else. There's one people there who's like no one else. They're like angels. They're standing in white. They stand united. The idea of stand united is that we, the Jewish people, walk into Yom Kippur united, which means we have to be willing to forgive the other guy. If he owes me money, I don't have to forgo the $50,000 loan I gave him, right? But we forgive people in the sense that we come to terms with them. We make peace with them. Now, we begin Yom Kippur. We come to shul. Married people dressed in white. We wear a talis. Wear the talis before sunset so you can make a blessing on the talis. And then the chazan begins and says the following. Al da'at ha-makom ve'al da'at ha-kahal. I'm standing here with the permission of God and the permission of the congregation. And I represent you. He has two people, one standing to his right and one standing to his left. And they're both holding Sifrei Torah. And they're standing as a court. And they're about to say, you know that guy who keeps a store open on Shabbos? You know that guy who did all kinds of inappropriate things and we all wanted to have nothing to do with him? Well, right now we're about to enter Yom Kippur. We want to be united. So we form a court. And three of the important people of the congregation stand by the bima, two with the Sefer Torah and one in the middle. And he says, and they're supposed to say quietly with him, I hereby take permission from heaven and I take permission from the congregation. And we hereby annul any ban we made on anyone. Everyone's allowed to join us. Even those people who were publicly doing inappropriate things. It could be the Kohen who said, I don't care, and married the divorcee. It could be the guy who keeps his shop open on Shabbos. All those people that throughout the year we say, guys, you got to change. This is wrong. You're publicly doing something that's wrong. On Yom Kippur we say, we want to unite. So we form a court, and before Yom Kippur enters, we make a declaration. Everyone's invited. Everyone's hereby allowed to enter. Okay, so that's before Kol Nidre. Then we make a declaration. Again, the court says, Kol Nidre. We're about to say all the different vows that we've made. And there are many terms in halacha for a vow. There are all kinds of terms. Neder, Isar, Konam, Konas, Kinui. There are all kinds of codes you could use to make a vow. We say, all of them I hereby want to annul them. Everything I made last year, this coming year, what I'm going to make, I want them to be annulled. And the court, again, those three standing at the bima, they make a public annulment of vows. They say it three times. And that's the famous thing that everyone gets all excited about. Kol Nidre. Yeah. But technically, it's a halachic thing that they're doing there. They're saying all the different types of vows we're hereby annulling. Then we make a blessing of Shechiyonu. And with that, we are ready to accept upon ourselves the day of Yom Kippur. So that's the blessing of Shechiyonu is really when the day of Yom Kippur enters. So that is the intro to Yom Kippur. Now, there is a special prayer. Sfaradim have one version, Ashkenazim have a different version. It is basically a person saying, I hereby want forgiveness, Hashem. I know I've done things wrong and I want you to forgive me. So it's recommended to show up to shul early enough to say that. Very often, between Kol Nidre and Ma'ariv, you'll have a half hour. Sometimes they sell aliyos, sometimes there's a speech. Well, if there's a speech, especially if you're in my shul, you should listen. Okay, that was a joke. Seriously though, you should try to find the time to say that prayer. Before Yom Kippur comes in, before we have our final meal, before Yom Kippur, we daven mincha. We daven mincha early on tomorrow, on Friday afternoon. And at mincha, at the end of Shmona Esrei, we have the addition of vidui. We say, all the Hashem, we want forgiveness for all the different things we might have done wrong. Now you're going to look at the vidui, and hopefully you're going to say, Al-Chechatanu lefanecha bevidat znut, I didn't do that. Al-Chechatanu lefanecha bezilzul orim, I didn't do that. You're going to go through the whole list of vidui and say, I didn't do any of that. Right? I hope. Or at least most of it, you're going to say, I didn't do that. And that's okay. We're talking about the public. It's a public vidui. Maybe I didn't do it, but I'm part of a crowd here. So I'm saying, Hashem, we're asking for forgiveness if we've transgressed in A, in B, in C. You're going to see a whole long list there. Read it, understand it, and even if it's not about you, it's about us. So that's the vidui. Now, my 8th grade Rebbe told us the following story. They went to Mincha, and he asked his father, why are we doing vidui now? It's not yet Yom Kippur. So his father told him, well, the halacha says maybe things will go wrong at the meal. You're eating this big meal. Who knows what's going to happen at the meal? People don't always make it to Yom Kippur, so the halacha says do it at Mincha. And he says, what do you mean, Abba? Who doesn't make it? That afternoon, he comes back to shul. And there's Gerald sitting on the bench where they left him. Gerald? Gerald's dead. Yeah, I told you who told it to me. My 8th grade Rebbe. I remember it till today, yeah. You can imagine a 13-year-old hears this story, right? So, he said to us as a kid, he wondered, why are we saying vidui? And then as a kid, he came to shul and found Gerald dead on the bench outside shul. And then he realized, oh wow, okay. Chazal say vidui at mincha, because you don't know if you're making it to Amayrib. So I walked around for a decade with this impression, oh boy, Chazal were worried we're all going to drop dead in the afternoon between mincha and Amayrib. And later when I saw the Gemara, I understood it's a totally different thing the Gemara is talking about. But the first impression is a good one. That's important, that interpretation. Chazal were worried because in their days, people didn't have anything to drink other than water and wine. And they were scared, you're going to sit down for this big meal, you're going to want to eat a lot and drink a lot. And what happens when people drink a lot of wine? They don't necessarily make it to Ma'ariv. So Chazal said, we're worried people are going to sit down and have this big meal and eat a lot and drink a lot. And drink a lot meant not only water, but also wine, which meant that people just might not make it to shul that night. So Chazal said, say your vidui in mincha. We're not trusting you, you're going to make it to Ma'ariv. So that's... okay, so today we don't drink wine at the Suda Mafseket.
For Purim as well.
Right, right. Now what? Right, so that's the pshat my 8th grade Rebbe told me, right? So I'm saying that's a legitimate pshat too. Okay. When we approach Yom Kippur, we already discussed in the beginning of the week that people have to know that they're healthy enough to fast, and if people are not healthy enough to fast, if people have a medical condition, it could be diabetes, it could be gallbladder issues, stones, it could be a person had to undergo chemo or radiation or has a heart condition or a blood pressure condition or a sugar condition or diabetes, they have to check with their doctor, they have to check with their rabbi and find out what's right for them. Whether they should fast, how much they should fast. I've been spending all week the phone ringing back and forth and back and forth. Should this person fast? They have this condition. Should that person fast that condition? We always recommend talk to your doctor and come to the rabbi with what the doctor said. And make sure you get your doctor that knows your full picture. And then based on that, we try to understand whether a person should fast. The idea of Yom Kippur is you're supposed to come out of Yom Kippur alive and healthy and well. And after Yom Kippur, you recover, you take that night to drink 2 liters and eat, and slowly refill yourself, and the next morning another 2 liters, and then Bezrat Hashem, you're okay. But go easy, don't make Havdalah and vodka, okay, or Arak. Every year Hatzalah gets a ton of calls right after Yom Kippur, all those people that made Havdalah on tough stuff, and it hit their empty stomach, and boom, they're out.
Oh, grape juice.
Grape juice is okay. Take a sip.
It's a bunch of sugar for like...
Okay, you don't have to drink a ton. You don't have to drink the whole cup. Drink a cheekful, okay? Okay, so Yom Kippur night, Yom Kippur day. Try to get some sleep. It's a long davening. You don't have to stand every minute the Aron HaKodesh is open. There's a custom to stand, but sometimes you get tired. The halacha doesn't obligate you to stand. It's a custom, which means when it works for you, do it, and when it doesn't, don't. Make sure you're okay. A person's not supposed to faint on Yom Kippur. If they think they're going to faint, they should sit down. If they need to, they should ask for a drink. A person's not allowed. Fainting is considered dangerous. Don't say, oh, I'm just going to faint. No. Fainting, yeah. You start seeing black dots, tell them to get you a drink, okay? Sit down, make sure you're okay, and if that doesn't help, get a drink. When you get up from bed, sit down first and then put your feet down and then wait a few seconds and then stand up and wait another few seconds and then start walking. Your blood pressure is not the same on a fast day than a regular day. Okay? So that's an overview of Yom Kippur. And now I would like to, if you guys are interested, I would like to go through what the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur, because it's a central theme of our prayers. Unless you'll tell